亲爱的大家晚上好，今天是2020年10月23日星期五的晚上，我们今天又非常非常荣幸的邀请到了深爱着我们以及我们深爱着的阿叔 Krishna Baladeva Prabhu 为我们继续讲述 Mahabharata 伟大的巴拉达，让我们敬请聆听 Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we continue with our narration of Mahabharata.
我们来继续进行我们对马哈巴尔特的讲述。
Last time we heard about the birth of Dhritarashtra, about the birth of Pandu and Vidura, great personalities.
那上一周呢，我们听到了 Dhritarashtra、潘都以及韦杜拉这些伟大人物的降生。
So it's wonderful because many personalities that we hear in the Bhagavad Gita now, they come to light and we start knowing more about them, where they come from.
那这非常的奇妙以及非常的美妙，是为什么呢？因为这些都是我们在《薄伽梵歌》里面所熟知的人物。那现在他们出场了，而且呢，我们将对他们的事迹了解的更多。
So sometimes we tend to think of these stories or this history of Mahabharata as a history of other civilization.
有的时候呢，我们就会认为像 Mahabharata 里面所讲述的这些故事呢，是其他的年代文明的历史的阐述。
It's another civilization. It's not our civilization.
这是讲其他人的文明，这和我们没什么关系。
My civilization is Chinese civilization or European civilization, Western civilization, whatever civilization we were born in, we grown up in.
那我和我相关的文明呢，指的是我所出生的中国所在的文明，或者是我所出生的欧洲所在的文明，或者是美国的文明，或者是其他的西方的我所出生的那个地方的文明。
But actually, our real civilization is a Vedic civilization.
但事实上，我们真正的文明呢，是韦达文明。
So even though we are hearing about personalities that are not really so known in our history, not really known in our history, we should not think this is a foreign civilization.
那所以说即便是我们所听到的所有的这些人物好像在我们所在的这个历史的文明中呢是没有这些人物的，但是我们也不要认为这和我们是没有任何相关的，对我们来说是一个国外的文明，不是这样的。
No, this is actually our real civilization.
但其实这是我们真正的实际的文明。
So last time we heard about the passing away of Vichitradirya, the son of Satyavati.
那么我们上一周呢也听到了 Vichitradirya 的离世，那他是 Satyavati 的儿子。
He died and left his wives without children.
他英年早逝，留下了他的两位妻子。那他的妻子呢，也没有留下他的孩子。
And everybody is lamenting.
那所有的人都在悲伤着。
We see this even in great families, in great traditions, there is attachment.
那所以我们在看到在这个伟大的传统的这些伟大的家庭中呢。其实也是展示着他们的依恋之情的。
It's particular attachment to their families.
所以呢，特别是展示出对家庭的依恋。
And we everybody thinks always that the situation in this material world, their family relationship is going to be forever.
因为所有的人在这个物质世界上的这些人们呢，都觉得，他们所具有的这些家庭的，依恋的这种关系是永远都会存在的。
So even in those Vedic dynasties, people have their attachments to their families.
所以说呢，在之前的那些王朝中的这些人们呢，他们对于自己的家庭也是有着这种深深的依恋之情的。
Later on, we'll hear from the prayers of Queen Kunti in Srimad Bhagavatam how she prayed to Lord Krishna.
我们之后在圣殿摩迦瓦坛里面也会听到昆提皇后，她如何对 Sri Krishna 进行的祈祷。
And she was requesting Krishna, please break the tie of affection for my family members.
然后呢，她向主 Krishna 祈祷着，求你了，能够打破我对我的家人的依恋之情。
There is nothing wrong with affection and attachment for dear ones.
那事实上呢，对于自己亲爱的人的依恋之情，有这样的情感没有什么问题。
But we have to develop our greatest affection for Krishna first of all.
但是呢，我们首当其冲的呢，是要先培养出我们对 Krishna 的深深的依恋之情。
Because this the attachment to Krishna, this affection for Krishna is eternal, where the other affection we may have in the material world, no matter how wonderful it is, it's going to be broken in time.
因为我们对 Krishna 的这种亲密的依恋之情呢，它是永恒长存的。但是呢，我们对于其他的家人的那样的依恋之情，无论这个依恋之情是多么的深厚，它在一段时间内都会被打破的。
So Kunti in her prayers, she prays to Krishna, may let my attraction for you, to become so natural, so focused, and so without any obstacle, like the Ganges flowing to the sea without any obstacle.
所以昆提皇后对主 Krishna 的祈祷就是求你了，让我对你的这种深深依恋之情呢没有任何的障碍，就好像而且是如此的自然，如此的深厚，就好像是恒河水的水流流淌而过一样，没有任何的障碍。
She had a wonderful family, a very affectionate family.
昆提皇后她有着一个非常美好的家庭，是一个大家都非常相亲相爱的家庭。
But she wants just to fix her affection and attention mainly on Krishna.
但是呢，她只是想把她的深情以及她的关注力呢，非常稳定的处于 Krishna 之上，处于 Krishna， 就想把她的这种稳定的深深的依恋之情给予 Krishna。
So we have to transfer our feelings of affection to Krishna first, and then we can really have some affection for our family members, considering them as also part of Krishna.
所以呢，我们首先呢是要把我们的这种依恋之情呢，要先转化到 Krishna 的身上，然后我们才能够也对我们的这些家人有着非常深深的依恋之情。因为我们这会儿呢，就会把我们的家人看成也是和 Krishna 相连接在一起的，从而和他们有很深的依恋之情。
We will see them as individual souls who also have a loving relationship with Krishna. And because of our affectionate connection with them, we can help them to understand that.
那我们把他们看成是这种个体的灵魂，而且呢，这个体的灵魂呢和 Krishna 之间也是有着深刻深深的关系，那这样的话呢，我们就 因为跟 Krishna 有关系，所以我们对他呢就会很有这种爱心。那然后我们也能够帮助他们，能够了解到他们和 Krishna 之间的这种关系。
So Lord Chaitanya came to give us the process how we can really develop our attachment for Krishna.
所以 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 来了，把这个程序给了我们。这个程序呢，就是教我们如何真正的能够培养出对 Krishna 的依恋之情。
By chanting the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna.
通过念诵 Hare Krishna 这 Maha Mantra。
By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gradually our hearts will be cleansed of all material desires and our attachment, affection for Krishna becomes very fixed.
我们通过念诵 Hare Krishna 的圣名，逐渐呢就能够清理掉我们内心的所有的物质欲望，这样呢我们对于 Krishna 的这种依恋之情就会变得非常的稳固。
So Queen Satyavati was not just lamenting the loss of her son, but she was also very anxious to have a qualified king to protect the citizens and the king died without leaving any progeny, so she was very, very worried about that.
Satyavati 皇后呢，她不仅仅是在悲伤着儿子的离世，而且她非常焦虑于怎么有好的国王能够保护这个国家的臣民。但是呢，她的儿子英年早逝，而且呢，也没有给她留下任何的后代。所以呢，他就对这件事情是非常的担忧的。
In those days, kings were very important in the life of the citizens.
那么在那个年代呢，一国之君是非常重要的，因为呢，这一国之君保护着他的臣民。
Because the kings were very brave and they could fight in a war in order to protect their citizens.
因为国王是非常的英勇的，他们会在战场上亲自作战，从而来保护他们的臣民。
They were very heroic, very strong.
他们非常的强壮，而且呢，他们也是非常的英勇的。
And they would lead their armies in battle.
他们在战场上会带兵作战。
They were not afraid of dying for the sake of their to protect their citizens.
他们为了保护他们的臣民，根本就不惧怕死在战场上。
So they command respect. Great kings, they command respect.
那么所以说呢，伟大的国王他们是深受尊敬的。
And the citizens, they love them like their own father.
而且呢，他的臣民也是像爱戴自己的父亲一样爱戴着他们的国王。
So Satyavati wanted her son Vyasadeva to give children in a womb of his brother's wives.
所以说萨提亚瓦提皇后呢就希望她的儿子舍拉维亚萨德能够给这个他死去的儿子的遗孀的子宫中留下孩子。
In this age of Kali, this is forbidden.
但是在卡利年代这么做是被禁止的。
Many things that were permitted in previous age are not permitted in Kali Yuga because people have no more qualification.
就是因为在卡利年代的人呢已经不再具备资格，所以说呢，在之前的年代允许人们做的事情，在卡利年代都不允许再做了。
Like offering a cow or horse in sacrifice, it was a common thing in Vedic times, but not in Kali Yuga. Is forbidden.
比如说在伟达年代呢， 在祭祀时候，在祭祀的时候以牛或者马作为供奉，这都是很平常的事情。但是在卡利年代，这都是被禁止的。
Because they don't know how to offer, how to perform sacrifice anymore.
因为在卡利年代的人们呢，已经不知道如何献祭、如何供奉了。
For a man to beget the children in his brother's wife, it was accepted in previous age, but not in this age.
所以说呢，在兄弟的妻子的子宫中受孕这件事情，在韦达年代里面是被允许的，但是在卡利年代已经不被允许了，被禁止了。
Because it becomes just illicit sex in Kali Yuga.
因为在卡利年代呢，这被视为是非法的性生活。
The last time one Mataji, I forgot her name, she asked a question, why since Vyasadeva had proposed Satyavati to have one here to prepare the Ambika Nambalika for his to accept him, why since after he had a relationship with Ambika, why, and it was a period in between conceiving a child in Ambika and then Ambalika, why Ambalika was not prepared to receive him?
Actually, that Mataji who asked the question is me.
Was you?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, okay. Okay, go on.
阿叔说呢，上一周有一位 Mataji 问了这么一个问题，这问题呢就是让阿叔他忘了这 Mataji 是谁了。这问题是这样的啊，就是Satyavati 妈妈让Srila Vyasadeva 给这个他的媳妇儿的这个子宫中受孕，但是当时呢Srila Vyasadeva 他就拒绝了，他说呢我们得有一段时间的让自己做好准备之后呢再来进行这个事情，因为你看我现在一身都很狼狈。但是呢当时 Satyavati 母亲呢就觉得他们没有时间再等了，所以呢当时他们就赶紧的把这件事给做了。但是在一年之后呢，当Srila Vyasadeva 再次回来的时候，再次让 Ambalika 受孕的时候呢，他依然还是就是很狼狈的这种状态。所以呢，那他为什么在这一年的时间里面，他没有让自己做好准备呢？为什么依然还是这样的一种状态呢？
Actually, it was not one year interval. It one year later. It was just 1 month later.
OK, 但事实上呢，其实这个 Srila Vyasadeva 他再次回来做这件事情的时候呢，并不是一年以后，而只是在一个月之后。
And certainly Ambika told Ambalika that Vyasadeva was certainly a great sage, but his appearance was not attractive at all. That's why she was so fearful during she was so afraid to see his that person that she closed the eyes when he had intercourse with him.
而且呢，安比卡他跟安布利卡讲述了这件事情，他对他说呢，毫无疑问，舍拉维亚萨蒂夫是一位伟大的圣人，但是呢，他的这个形象实在是太让人觉得没有办法忍受了，有点吓人。所以说呢，当他在和这个舍拉维亚萨蒂夫在进行这个受孕的这件事情的时候呢，他就很害怕，所以呢，他就不敢看他，所以他把眼睛给闭上了。
So Ambalika did not have a photo of Vyasadeva.
但是当时呢，Ambalika 对 Ambika 讲了，但是 Ambalika 当时他并没有 Srila Vyasadeva 的一张照片。
He didn't see him.
所以说呢，Ambalika 当时他就没有看到真 Srila Vyasadeva 的样子。
But mentally, she was more or less prepared, you know, to receive a person who was not a very not attractive physically. She was prepared for that.
所以呢，安巴利卡在脑子里面呢，就在想着，这么吓人的一个人到底是什么样子。所以呢，他是有心理准备的。
But still, when he came. The night when he came and when he saw him for the first time, she became pale with fear because it was really not attractive.
但是呢，就即便是安巴利卡，他内心有准备，可是那天晚上，当他和 Srila Vyasadeva 要进行这个就做这件事情的时候呢，他依然还是吓坏了。他当时看见了这个 Srila Vyasadeva 的这个样子的时候呢，他吓得脸都失去了人色。的原因就是因为他长得实在是太丑了。
So we see great sages who perform austerities, spend their time performing austerities in faraway places. They certainly keep their bodies clean and healthy, but not in a way we are used in society.
那么因为说到维亚萨德夫呢，他是一位伟大的圣人，而且呢他是在很远的一个地方呢在进行着苦行的活动，那他毫无疑问呢是会保持着自己的身体的洁净，但是呢他自己的让自己身就是样子所显现出来的这个样子呢，不会是让我们在社会中的这些人能够习惯看到的那个样子。
They were actually very clean, more clean than we are, and they were very healthy.
那么他毫无疑问呢，他是非常的洁净的，他其实比我们还要干净，而且呢，他也很健康。
But they would not, for instance, they would not cut their hair.And the hair would grow and would make matted locks all over the place, you know, and didn't like attractive like today. People comb their hair, have some hairstyle. They didn't have a hairstyle.
那就比如说呢，他从来都不会绞头发，而这个头发呢是非常蓬乱的，系成各种各样的发辫，而且呢是披散在身上的各处的，到处都是头发，而且呢。他也不会像我们现在人一样把头发给梳得光光的，或者是剪一个很漂亮的发型。
And they often would smear ashes over their bodies.
而且呢，他们也经常会把这个泥土给抹得浑身都是。
Because ashes actually clean the skin better than water.
因为呢，这个泥土要比水更好的清洁着皮肤。
But it gives an appearance that does not look very attractive to modern standards.
但是呢，从我们现代的这种标准来看呢，浑身都抹着泥的这个样子呢，就不会很有吸引力，就不会很美。
So that's why Ambalika kind of turned pale when he saw that figure that she had never seen.A sage like that, so she became pale.
所以说呢，当阿玛利克见到了这样一位他从来都没有见过的圣人的形象的时候呢，他就变得面色苍白了。
So she became afraid.
因为阿玛利克就变得吓坏了。
That's why she gave birth to Pandu.
也就这个原因呢，他就生下了潘杜。
So today, who is this today? Today we'll be hearing about the birth of the Pandavas.
那今天我们所要听到的呢是潘达瓦的降生。
So see, we're getting close to personalities. We're starting hearing more about personalities.Were very very close to Lord Krishna.
所以我们现在呢，逐渐的要听到一些和主 Krishna 非常亲近的人物了。
So after the birth of Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura that were conceived by Vyasadeva in the womb of Ambalika and the maidservant of Ambalika, then this planet Earth became very prosperous.
所以说呢，当这个Ambalika 还有他们的女仆生下了 Dhritarashtra、潘杜和维杜拉之后呢，这个世界就显现出了一片的繁荣的景象。
Okay, let's say our prayers before we start this new chapter. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunavari Pashata Deshatarine Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yana Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vadati Swapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So because now Until the children would come to age to become to take the throne, Bhishma was reigning in the planet, you know, temporarily, just waiting for the children to grow.
当这些孩子们逐渐长大的这个过程中呢，这个国家呢是由Bhishma Dev他暂时统治着。
So the seasons were coming in a very proper way, one after another. There was sufficient rainfall and everything was growing nice and people were satisfied, they're having plenty.
对,四季呢,就这样非常风调雨顺的 一季一季的过着，一切呢都显示得非常的繁荣，雨水也都非常的充足，然后在这个国家里面的这些人们呢也都非常的心满意足，一切都是非常的丰足的。Yeah,
guided by Bhishma, they were performing their devotional sacrifices for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu.
所有的人们呢都是在 Bhishma Dev 的指导之下。 进行着非常的具有奉爱之心的祭祀仪式，向主Vishnu进行着献祭。Particularly
in Hastinapur, the capital of the kingdom, people were so satisfied that they thought they were living in Vaikuntha.
特别是在Hastinapur，也就是在首都的这些人们呢，过着非常的欢愉的生活。 或者非常的心满意足的生活，他们觉得自己好像就生活在百坤塔一样。No
anxiety.
没有任何的焦虑。
They had sufficient, they had so much plenty of everything, and they felt very protected.
那他们所拥有的一切都是非常的富足的，都是非常的丰裕的，而且呢，他们觉得自己也得到了很好的保护。
And Bhishma erased the three children, Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura, as if they were his own children.
Bhishma像是亲生的父亲一样抚养着这三个孩子，Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura.
Pandu grew and became very expert, you know, really very expert in the use of arch and bow. The bow and arrows.
Pandu 呢，他在成长的过程中呢，就非常的精于箭术，很会射箭，很会用弓。
Very expert.
非常的精通。
And in those days, this was the main weapon used by the Kshatriyas.
而在那个年代呢，弓和箭是沙地里所用的主要的武器。
Dhritarashtra became very, very, very outstanding in personal strength, physical strength.
Dhritarashtra, physical strength. You mean fighting personally?
Physical strength. Physical
okay.
Body strength.
Yeah, I got that. 那么这个 Dhritarashtra 呢，他是出落的身强力壮。
Very, very strong physically.
他从这个身体的 这个他从身体上来看呢是非常的强壮的，非常的健硕。
This is also an important, an important aspect of kshatriya. He had to be very powerful physically.
那么对于沙地利来说呢，这也是非常的重要的一点。那么他的这个身体呢，要非常的强壮，要非常的健硕。
Vidura was different than his two brothers.
但是维杜拉和他的两个哥哥呢，有点不太一样。
He became particularly expert in knowledge of devotion and morality, principles of morality.
那他呢对于这个奉爱的知识非常的精通，而且呢他也很守道德，他特别是在这个道德方面是很出众的。
So, as they grew up when they came to age,Dhritarashtra was supposed to be the king, but being born blind, then Pandu, his younger brother Pandu, became the king.
逐渐呢，他们就到了要继承王位的这个年龄。那因为 Dhritarashtra 呢，他是家中的长子，他本来应该是继承王位的，但是由于他天生目盲，所以他就没有办法继承王位，所以他的弟弟潘都就继承了王位，就变成了国王。
So then Bhishma was concerned about their marriage to find the suitable wives for the three youngsters.
然后 Bhishma Dev 呢也开始考虑这三位王子的婚事，在想给他们找到适合他们的妻子。
So by his research, he spotted three princesses that would be suitable to marry Dhritarashtra and Pandu.
那么经过他的一番搜寻呢，他就找到了三位适合嫁给Dhritarashtra 和 Pandu 的公主。
There was Gandhari. Gandhari was the daughter of King Subala.
那么他们都是 Gandhari, 他们是 Subala 王的女儿。
There was Gandhari, the princess Gandhari. She was the daughter of Subala, King Subala.
哦，那么其中有一位是 Gandhari 公主，她是 Subala 王的女儿。
She had received a blessing from Lord Shiva that she would give birth to 100 sons.
她呢，从主希瓦那儿得到了一个祝福，就是说呢，她会生下100个儿子。
So Bhishma thought that could be a good wife to Dhritarashtra.
所以呢，Bhishma Dev就想呢。Gandhari 就可以成为 Dhritarashtra 的贤妻。
So he sent a messenger to King Subala to offer his daughter in marriage to Dhritarashtra.
所以呢，他就给 Subala 王发了一封信，派出了一个信使去给他发了一封信。就请求能够把他的女儿嫁给，就把 Gandhari 嫁给 Dhritarashtra。
He sent a messenger, not a message, a messenger.
Yes, yes, Ashu said that. I said that.
Oh, Tanshin, you sent a letter.
No, I said that he sent a letter through a messenger.
No, not letter, not just a messenger, just a messenger to convey that. Convey the request.
You mean he sent a message, no messenger, right?
A messenger, just to convey the message of Bhishma Dev.
Yes,
a messenger
who will speak the message.
He will speak the message. Don't bring a letter. He will speak the message, the request of Bhishma.
The messenger in those days. Yes, that's why I said
because
just
I heard Fanshin.
Yeah, I said that's the messenger sent a message. Sorry, but let me say it again.
At the beginning, King Subala hesitated because he knew that Dhritarashtra was blind.
那在最开始的时候呢, Subala王他是不同意的, 因为他知道 Dhritarashtra是目盲的, 看不见。
But then when he considered that it was a very, very important dynasty, then he agreed to the marriage.
但是后来他又想，这是一个非常重要的王国，所以呢，他就同意了这门婚事。So
when the princess Gandhari heard that her husband, her future husband, was blind, she voluntarily blindfolded herself, and he took a vow to remain like that for the rest of her life.
那么当 Gandhari 一听说她将来的丈夫 是看不见的，是天生目盲的时候呢，他就自愿的把他的眼睛用布给遮上了，并且呢，他发誓这一辈子他都不再用他的眼睛去看。She
didn't want to be more than a husband.
因为呢，她不希望她有比她的丈夫更多的优势。So
her brother Shakuni brought her to I'm giving you his names, no otherwise. Her brother Shakuni brought her to Hastinapur to be formally handed over to Dhritarashtra.
所以说呢，Gandhari的兄弟哥哥Shakuni 就亲自护送他的妹妹来到哈斯汀纳普尔，把她送到德拉斯特那里。There
was also the daughter of the king Surasena.
还有 Surasena， 还有另外一位呢，就是 Surasena 的女儿。Surasena,
he became the father of Vasudev, who became the father of Krishna.
The Surasena呢, 他是Vasudev的父亲, 也就是Vasudev是Krishna的父亲.
So he was the king of the Yadu dynasty.
对呢, Surasena, 他是亚度王朝的国王.
So he had a daughter, that his name was Prita.
那他有一个女儿，他的女儿的名字呢是 Prita.
But Prita had been adopted by the king Kunti Bhoja.
但是 Prita 呢，他又被 Kunti Bhoja 王寄养了。Because
Kunti Bhoja had no children.
因为 Kunti Bhoja 王没有孩子。
So they had made an agreement with King Surasena. Surasena had made an agreement if a girl would be born from Surasena, then it could be handed over to Kunti Bhoja because he had no children.
所以呢, Surasena 王和 Kunti Bhoja 王呢, 他们俩就有这么一个协议, 就是如果 Surasena 王生下来一个女儿的话呢, 那么这个女儿就会过继给 Kunti Bhoja 王。
So even though Prita was born from Surasena, she grew up with as the daughter of Kunti Bhoja.
对呢，虽然 Prita 公主呢，她是由 Surasena 王所生，但是她其实是由 Kunti Bhoja 王给抚养长大的，因为 Kunti Bhoja 王没有孩子。
That's why she became known as Kunti.
也就是这个原因呢, Prita公主她是以 Kunti 而著而得名的。
Kunti was an extremely beautiful princess.
那 Kunti 呢，她是一位非常美丽的公主，令人惊艳的公主。
When she was growing up as a young girl, she was given entrusted the duty to greet important guests and brahmanas and offer them menial service.
那么当她还是一个小姑娘的时候呢，她就很有兴趣服务来访的大圣人，然后呢向这些大圣人们呢献上她很卑微的服务。
And one time, the great sage Durvasa Muni came to visit Kunti Bhoja.
那有一次呢，大圣人 Durvasa Muni 就来拜访 Kunti Bhoja 王。
Durvasa Muni was very famous for being hungry very easily.
那 Durvasa Muni 呢，他是非常有名的，很容易就会被激怒的圣人。
Very easily, he could become angry.
所以呢，他很容易就会被激怒了。
So, not very easy to please him.
但是呢，要取悦他可不是那么容易。
But Kunti, a young Kunti, she was able to please him by her menial service.
但是小 Kunti 呢，就可以通过他的很卑微的服务，让 Durvasa Muni 很开心。
So, Durvasa Muni gave her a very special blessing.
对 Durvasa Muni 呢，就给了他一个很特别的祝福。
She could call, gave her the mantras to call any demigod to produce children in her womb if she wanted.
他就给了 Kunti 一个曼陀罗，那么他通过这个念诵这个曼陀罗呢，就可以使他在任何时候只要想，他就可以通过念曼陀罗。呼唤半神人，然后呢，让这个半神人和他一起生孩子。
You could call any demigod.
而且呢，他是可以呼唤任何一位半神人的。
So, she was still young, and she was very curious if this mantra worked or not.
当时呢，他还很小，但是呢，他又特别的好奇，他就想知道这曼陀罗到底能不能使啊，好不好使啊。
So she chanted the mantra to call the demigod of the sun, Surya Deva.
对呢，他就念诵了这个曼陀罗，并且呼唤了太阳神 Surya Deva.
And Surya Deva appeared.
然后 Surya Deva 呢就显现了。
So my dear lady, here I am to please you.
我亲爱的姑娘，我现在来到你面前，就是为了要取悦你。
Oh, she said, oh, no, never mind. I was just dancing the mantra.
然后Kunti 就说，哦，不，没事儿，我只不过就是想试试这曼陀罗。
I wanted to know if this mantra really worked.
我就想知道这曼陀罗是不是管用，是不是好使。
So you please forgive me, but you can go back.
所以请您原谅我吧，可是现在您可以请回了。
But Surya Deva said, no, you call me by this mantra, so there has to be some result.
然后Surya Deva 就说呢，那不行，你是用这个曼陀罗来把我呼唤来的，所以呢，必须得有一些结果才行。
So don't worry, you bear a son by me, but you remain a virgin girl.
说但是你不用担心，你呢？会生下我给你的这个孩子，但是呢，你依然还会保持你的处女之身。
So in order to keep her virginity intact, the sun god arranged that the child be born from Kunti's ear instead of coming from the genital organs.
所以为了要保持昆提的完整的处女之身呢，太阳神他就安排这个孩子由昆蒂的耳朵里生了出来，并没有从昆蒂的下身生出来。
He came out from the ear.
就那这孩子从耳朵里面生出来的。
That's why he was named Karna.
也就是这个原因呢，为什么这孩子被起名叫 Karna?
Karna means ear.
Karna 的意思就是耳朵的意思。
So he was born with a natural golden armor and beautiful golden earrings.
所以呢，当 Karna 他出生的时候呢，他就戴着漂亮的金色的耳环。
And he had armor, you know, protecting his body, a golden armor
oh, okay.
protecting his body in gold.
Okay, 然后呢，他身上还穿着就是保护他身体的金盔甲。
So he looked like the sun god.
所以呢，他看起来就像是太阳神一样。
So, but Kunti did not know what to do with this child.
但是昆提他不知道怎么应对这孩子呢？这孩子怎么办呀
？So he put the child in a basket and let it float in the Ganges.
所以呢，他就把这孩子放在了一个篮子里面，然后呢，让这个篮子顺着恒河就飘走了。
And she prayed to the sun god to protect the child.
她并且向太阳神祈祷，能够保护这个孩子。
So that child was eventually picked up by a carpenter, a chariot driver. His name was Adhirata.
那最终呢，这个孩子呢就被一个车夫，那他也是一位木匠，他叫 Adhirata 给。Adhirata 给抱走了。
So Adhirata was very happy because his wife Radha had no children.
Adhirata 是非常的开心的，因为他的妻子 Radha 没有孩子。
So they thought this was a gift from heaven.
但他们就觉得呢，这是由上天赐给他们的礼物。
So, meanwhile, she grew up and she was invited by the father wanted to give her in marriage to Pandavas because of the request of Bhishma.
Sorry,
it was not like that. Okay, it, nice you didn't hear.
I was getting confused because.
Okay, when she came at the age of marrying.
Mm-hmm. You mean this is the Karna or who
Kunti,
got the age of...
Kunti, Karna is gone, Karna is gone. Okay. Kunti,
oh, okay.
When she came at the age of marriage.
Okay, 那然后当这个 Kunti 她到了要婚嫁的年龄的时候。
So her father, Kunti Bolcha, invited many princes and kings from other country, by other kingdoms to come and participate in the ceremony and where Kunti would choose husband amongst all of them.
那 Kunti Bolcha 他的父亲呢就举行了一个盛大的招亲典礼，然后呢就邀请了其他的国家、其他地方的所有的这些王侯、这些国王们，然后呢聚集在这个招亲典礼上，然后呢让他的女儿来为自己选夫。
So when she saw Pandu.The beautiful Pandu, and he looked so brave, such a wonderful prince. She became totally captivated by him and offered him the garland, accepting him as her husband.
所以说呢，当昆提他见到了非常的英武帅气，而且也是非常的英勇的潘都的时候呢。他一下子就为之倾心，所以呢，他就把花环就献给了潘都。
So Pandu took Kunti to Hastinapura.
这样呢，潘都就把昆迪带回了 Hastinapura。
So then Bhishma thought about, since Pandu was the king, he thought about having Pandu married have a second wife.
那 Bhishma Dev 又在想，那既然潘都他是一国之君，那么他就应该还有第二位妻子。
So Bhishma himself went to the kingdom of Madras, and there he obtained the the daughter of the king of Madras, her name was Madri, to become the second wife of Pandu.
那 Bhishma Dev 呢就亲自去了 Madra 国，然后呢就请这个 Madra 王能够答应把自己的女儿 Madri 献给 Pandu 作为他的第二位妻子。
So Pandu being married, being situated as the king, then he wanted to make sure that his power was accepted all over the earth. So he started conquering and going over many, many kingdoms and subjugating all the kings under to become subordinated to him.
那潘度呢现在已经成为了国王，并且呢他也已经成亲，所以呢他必须要确保所有的这些王国的国王们呢全部都能够臣服于他，所以说呢他就游走于各个国家，然后呢去征服所有的这些王国，让所有的这些国王能够从属于他。
To make sure that all the kings in the planet were subjugated to him, would follow his rule. So the king Pandu went all over the world and conquered, you know, established his rule all over the planet.
那为了要确保在这宇宙星，要确保在这个星球上的所有的这些王国全部都能够恭顺于他，所以说呢，他就游走四方的，在各方去征服所有的这些王国。
So after his great campaign to establish himself as the emperor of the world, he came back and then for some time he retired to the forest with his two wives, Kunti and Madri.
所以他所以呢他在在征战各方的这个过程中呢就确立了自己是世界之地的这个地位。那么等他回来之后呢他又他又这个料理一段时间的国事之后呢，他就退隐森林了，和他的两位妻子一起在森林中过着生活。
He took some holidays in a forest in the Himalaya mountains.
Oh, okay, 那他现在这会儿呢是在喜马拉雅山上去度个假，和他两位妻子度假。
At the base of the Himalayan mountains in the beautiful forests.
是在喜马拉雅山底部的一座很美的森林里面度假。
So one time he was roaming in the forest and he saw a deer that was engaged in sex with his female companion.
那有一天呢，当他在森林里漫游的时候呢，他就见了一头鹿。这头鹿呢，正在和他的妻子和这头母鹿正在进行着这个爱意的活动。
In those days, kings were allowed to kill the deer in the forest, and not to eat the flesh, but one reason was to keep their dexterity, their ability of shooting arrows very, very, very keen, very good. And also they would offer the deer a very special cremation, so the deer would, the soul would go to heaven.
那在那个年代呢，国王是允许杀死鹿的。那他杀鹿的原因呢，并不是要吃鹿的肉，而是一呢是为了要练习自己的剑法。那么另外还有一个呢，就是通过杀掉这个鹿以后呢，给这个鹿进行一场很好的火葬之后呢，这个鹿就可以上升天堂。
So, but the thing is that that deer was not a real deer, but it was the son of a great rishi who took that form with his wife and they were enjoying in a forest.
但问题是呢，鹿它并不是真正的鹿，它是一位伟大的 rishi 的儿子。那这个儿子呢，正在和他的妻子以鹿的形式在森林里面享受鱼水之欢。
Because in amongst the rishis, to have this type of enjoying sex with a mate was not allowed. So they took on the form of deers to roam freely in the forest and engage in sex life.
因为做如果是 Rishi 以他们自己 Rishi 的这个形象呢，是不能够进行这样的鱼水之欢的活动的，所以说呢，他们才会把自己给变成鹿的这种形象，然后以鹿的这个形象来享受这样的事，来享受这样的生活。
So when the deer was pierced of Pandu. He start crying like a human being.
所以说呢，当这头鹿中了潘度所射的箭之后呢，他就像人一样哭了起来。
And he start chastising Pandu before he passed away.
然后在他死之前呢，在他这个丧命之前呢，他就开始使劲的责骂潘度。
Why have you killed me with your arrows while I was enjoying with my wife?
当我在和我的妻子享受我们的生活的时候，为什么你要用你的箭射死我呢？
So Pandu said, this is a thing that kings are allowed to do to kill the deers in order to maintain their ability of shooting arrows and give a facility to the deer to be promoted to heaven.
那潘度就辩解到，作为国王，我们是允许用箭射死鹿的，那以这样的方式来保持我们的射箭技能，并且呢，还能够让鹿得以有上升天堂的机会。
I'm just doing my duty as a king. I didn't do this whimsically.
现在我只是在履行我的国王所应该尽的职责，我并不是异想天开的在做事情。
So the deer replied, I don't blame you for killing a deer.
那然后这头鹿就说呢，我并不是因为你要杀死一头鹿而责骂你。
It's just because of your cruel act. You should have waited that I would finish my intercourse with my wife at least.
但是呢，我是因为你的残忍而在指责你。你至少应该等着我和我的妻子完成了我们的欢愉之事之后，你再射死我。
I have taken this form of a deer because in human life, unrestricted sex life is forbidden.
我之所以把自己变成鹿的形象来做这件事的原因，是由于我如果是人的形象的话，我们是被禁止做这个事情的。
Because you have killed me while I was enjoying with my wife, your fate will be like mine.
那就是由于当我在和我的妻子享受的时候，你杀死了我，所以说呢，你命定你的你也会像我这样。
When you approach your wife for intercourse, you will die prematurely, you and your wife.
当你和你的妻子在享受鱼水之欢时，你和你的妻子也都会英年早逝。
So this was terrible for Pandu because at that time had no children.
那么这个对于潘朵来说呢，是非常恐怖的一个诅咒的原因，是因为在这会儿他还没有任何的孩子呢。
So the deer died and he went back to heaven. He went to heaven.
那这头鹿呢就死去了，然后他就回去了天堂。
But Pandu now was totally bewildered about this situation in his life.
但是呢，潘度此时呢，被他生活中的这种处境弄得手足无措了。
He said, "Now what's the use? What's the use of remaining a king if I have no children and have done this activity that?" Really displeased this rishi. That's what's the use of keep doing my duty as a king.
那我现在此时如果没有任何的孩子，我留在国王的这个位置上还有什么用呢？而且我没有办，我因为冒犯了这位圣人而遭遇了这样的诅咒，我现在作为国王还有什么用呢？
I cannot have progeny. I cannot enjoy material life like a normal king.
我没有办法有后代了，我也不能够像是一位正常的国王那样去享受我的物质生活了。
So it's better I take on a life of an ascetic and control my passions.
所以我最好呢，还是像是一位苦修士那样去度过我的余生，从而呢，能够控制住我自己的激情。
I will renounce my kingdom.
我会放弃我的王国。
I will shave my head.
我会剃度我的头发，我会剃光我的头发。
And I'll try to give up my material life.
而且呢，我要尽量的放弃我的物质生活。
I will learn how to have a friendly attitude towards everybody, to be kind with all living entities.
我要学着如何友好的对待众生，如何平等的对待所有的生物体。
I'll learn how to take complete shelter of the Supreme Lord.
我要学着如何完全的托庇在至尊主的庇护下。
So he sent all his servants and all his wealth, everything that was with him, all the material possessions. He sent everything to Hastinapur and sent the news to Bhishma and his brothers what had taken place in his life and the decision he has taken now.
他们就把他所有的仆人以及他的随行物品以及他所有的这些富足的这些物品呢，全部都送回到了 Hastinapur， 并且呢还托信告诉 Bhishma Dev 以及他的兄弟们在他身上发生了些什么事情，他现在的处境是怎样的。
So Bhishma and the brothers were, and all the elders in the kingdom, they were very devastated for this turn of events.
那么当听到这个消息之后呢， Bhishma Dev 他的兄弟以及在 Hastinapur 的这些所有的长者们都感到非常的崩溃。
So Pandu renounced sense gratification. He behaved like the rishis in the forest.
所以呢，Pandu 呢，他就弃绝了他的感官享乐的生活，并且呢，像是一位 rishi 一样，在森林中过着日子。
He became fully satisfied in himself.
他变得完全的处于自我满足的状态下。
But while he was living in the forest, he started thinking, how will the kingdom go without his protection? You know, who would be the king? Because Dhritarasa was blind, he could not be king, and Vidura was not qualified to be a king because born of the Sudra woman.
但是呢，当他在森林里面的时候呢，他就在琢磨着，如果他要是不在王国里的话，那他这个王国由谁来保护呢？他这些臣民们都怎么办呢？因为 Dhritarashtra 是天生目盲，所以呢没有办法以尽国王之职。那么 Vidura 呢，由于又是由苏哲所生，所以呢也没有资格成为国王，所以那现在这个国家怎么办呢？
And he could not praise his forefathers by having children would perform sacrifice on his behalf.
而且呢，他也不能向他的祖先进行祈祷他能够有后代，并且呢能够代表他去进行祭祀活动。
So.With anxiety, he was very anxious about that. So he didn't want, and he couldn't engaged in sex life with his wife because he has been cursed by this rishi in the form of a deer. So he requested Kunti. No, why can you accept to have children by engaging in intercourse with a very advanced Brahmana?
但是呢，他又不能够和他的妻子，进行，就是他的妻子就他又不能和他的妻子来进行受孕，然后呢来生孩子，原因就是由于由这个以鹿的形式的，就是处在鹿身中的这个Rishi 给他的这个诅咒，使他不能这么做，所以呢他就问昆提皇后，您能不能？为了要给咱们这个国家有这个后代，而和有资格的 Brahmana 来生个孩子呢
？Because without children to maintain our dynasty, the whole world will fall in ruination.
因为如果要是没有孩子来维系我们这个国家的话，那么整个这个世界都会处在毁灭之中。
The same way as Vyasadeva conceived me, I would like you to conceive children by the semen of some great rishi.
那么就好像是了 Vyasadeva 他这个生下了我一样，那我也希望呢，你能够以同样的这个形式呢，能够和其他的有资格的婆罗门一起生个孩子，来维系这个国家。
So, Kunti certainly want to satisfy the desire of her husband.
那昆蒂毫无疑问呢，她是愿意去满足她的丈夫的愿望的。
At that time, she mentioned about the blessing that she had received from Durvasa Muni, that mantra that could summon any great demigod.
那么这会儿呢，她就向她的丈夫讲述了她从多善穆尼那里得到的这个祝福。就是他有这样一个曼陀罗，可以呼唤任何一位半神人来和他一起生孩子。
So when Pandu heard that, he became very, very, very happy. Say, yes, my dear Kunti, you can begin by inviting the demigod Yamaraj.
那所以当Pandu听到昆蒂这么一说之后呢，他就很开心。他说：“我亲爱的昆蒂，那太好了。”那你就先开始请呼唤 Yamaraj 来为我们生孩子吧。
He is the most pious demigod and is very devoted to Lord Vishnu.
因为呢他是最虔诚的半神人，而且呢他也对主 Vishnu 是满怀着奉爱之心。
So Kunti agreed to that and he prepared to call, to chant the mantra to call Yamaraj.
那所以昆提呢就同意了，并且呢他也做好了要念诵这个曼陀罗呼唤 Yamaraj 的准备。
At that time, the wife of Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, had also already became pregnant.
那么此时呢
already become pregnant already for 1 year. She was already pregnant for 1 year when Kunti decided to have her first child from Yamaraj.
那么当昆蒂决定呼唤 Yamaraj 来生下他第一个孩子的时候呢， Dhritarashtra 的妻子 Gandhari 已经身怀有孕一年的时间了。
So Kunti chanted the mantra and Yamaraj appeared to her and he conceived the child.
那所以呢昆蒂呢就念诵了这个曼陀罗， Yamaraj 就出现在他的面前，并且呢他就怀下了这个 Yamaraj 的孩子。
So when the child was born, there was a celestial voice coming from the skies.
那么当这个孩子出生的时候呢，在天空中就出现了一个声音。
This child will have a very, very, very high consciousness.
这个声音就对他说呢，这个孩子呢将会有非常高的知觉。
He will rule according to the will of God.
那他呢会根据神的愿望来统治，就是他会在神的愿望下统治。
he will be very truthful.
而且呢，他也会非常的真诚。
And he will become the emperor of this planet.
那么他将会成为这个星球的大帝。
This first son of Pandu will be named Yudhisthira.
潘度王的第一个儿子的名字呢，就是 Yudhisthira。
And he will become famous even amongst the demigods.
而且呢，他会变得名声远扬，即便是在半神人中，在半神人中也是非常的有名的。
So when this happened, Pandu was so overjoyed.
对，当这事一发生之后呢，潘度非常的开心。
And some time after, he again approached Kunti. Now maybe you could call Vayu, the demigod of the wind, so he could give you a child with great physical strength to be a great warrior.
然后隔了一段时间之后呢，潘度王又来找昆体，说你可以现在来呼唤阿育风王，然后呢，请他给你一个孩子，使这个孩子呢非常的身强力壮，而且呢将会是一位伟大的战将。
So when the child was born from the conception of Vayu, the demigod of the wind, there was a voice from the heavens saying, this child would be so, and without so much physical strength, he can conquer any man in this planet.
所以说呢，当由阿育风王所生的这个就是所受孕的这个孩子出生的时候呢，在天空中又出现了一个天仙的声音，这声音就说呢，这个孩子出生之后呢，将成长的身强力壮，而且呢，他将击败在这个世界的所有的人，是战无不胜的。
This child will be known as Bhima.
这个孩子的名字呢是 Bhima.
With incredible strength.
他呢是具有令人不可思议的惊人的力量的。
At the time Bhima took birth, the first time of Gandhari also took birth, Duryodhana.
那么当Bhima 在出生的时候呢， Gandhari 他也生下了 Duryodhana， 就是这会儿Gandhari 他生下的是他第一个孩子。
When the child was still small, one time while Kunti was holding the child in her lap, the child has fallen asleep, and suddenly Kunti heard the roar of a lion in the forest, and she became so fearful that she rose up, and the child fell from her lap.
This child is Bhima, right?
Bhima, yeah.
Yeah. 那么就是当这个 Bhima 还非常小的时候，当时 Kunti 呢，怀里抱着 Bhima。然后突然之间呢，在森林里面呢，就出现了一声狮吼，就把昆蒂给吓坏了。昆蒂吓得站了起来，但是呢，把这个怀中的 Bhima 就给弄掉地上了。
So the child fell down from the mountainside and went down and fell on a big rock. And as he fell on that rock, the rock pulverized, became like powder, and the child was not hurt, not even a little bit.
那然后这个孩子摔到地上之后呢，就顺着这个山坡滚了下去，并且磕在了一块大石头上。可是当这个孩子一磕在这个大石头上的时候呢，这个大石头就碎成了粉末，那么而且这就像是粉末一样柔软，那这样就使这个孩子呢丝毫没有受到损伤。
Pandu, when he saw that, he was amazed by the physical strength of the body of his little child.
那所以当潘度看到这个景象的时候呢，他就非常的惊讶于这个孩子他所展现出来的身体上的力量。
So after the birth of Bhima, Pandu also still desired to have more children.
但是呢，在生下 Bhima 之后呢，潘度这会儿还有愿望能有更多的孩子。
So for 1 year, they perform austerities and Pandu meditate upon Indra, the king of heaven.
那在这一年中呢，他们就进行了苦行，而且呢，潘度他在内心中冥想着，天帝 Indra。
And the king Indra actually appeared to him after his austerities, and he said, "Yes, I'll give you a child. We'll be celebrated forever."
嗯，所以呢，当潘度进行了苦行之后呢，潘度天帝 Indra 就出现在了潘度的面前，并且对潘度说呢，我会赐你一个孩子，而且这个孩子呢，会永远名声大振。
You will be a great devotee of the Supreme Lord.
而且呢，他也会是至尊主的一位很伟大的奉献者。
So Pandu immediately approached Kunti and he told her to chant the mantra to call upon Indra to conceive a child in her womb.
所以说呢，潘度就立刻去找昆提，并且呢，请昆提再次念曼陀罗。请用通过这个曼陀罗来呼唤 Indra， 然后使天帝 Indra 呢能够在他的子宫中受孕。
When the child was born again, these celestial voices, you know, from the sky, this child will be known as Arjuna.
所以呢，当这个孩子出生之后呢，在天空中的这个声音呢，就告知说，这个孩子的名字是 Arjuna。
He will be the greatest bowman.
那么他将会是最伟大的弓箭手。
And he will become as powerful as Lord Shiva himself.
而且呢，他会像主希瓦一样勇猛。
He will be invincible in battle.
而且呢，他在战场上呢是不可被战胜的。
And you will acquire all the celestial weapons.
并且呢，他将得到所有的天上的武器。
So Pandu was so overjoyed.
那么当时呢，潘度实在是太开心了。
But still, he wanted more children.
但是他依然还想要更多的孩子。
But Kunti said no, no.
昆提说不要了，不要了。
Only if there was emergency, we already have 3 children.
那除非有一些什么这个特别的事情，因为我们现在已经有3个孩子了。
So you should not ask me again to bear children.
对的，你不能够再向我提出要生更多的孩子的要求了。
But Madri.The other wife of Pandu had no children.
但是 Madri, 潘度王的另外一位妻子此时还没有任何的孩子。
But she approached Pandu.
所以呢 Madri 就找到了潘度王。
I understand that you prefer to favor my Kunti.
那我知道你更偏爱 Kunti。
I know that Gandhariya already has 100 children.
那我知道 Gandhari 已经有了100个孩子。
And Kunti has 3 children.
Kunti 有3个孩子。
But I am childless.
可是我却膝下无子。
So if I could have children conceived in the same way as Kunti by demigods, and it would be wonderful. So perhaps you could ask her to do this for me.
那如果我要是也能像昆提那样和半身人一起为你生个孩子的话呢，那对我可实在太好了。那所以您能不能去向昆提请求一下，也能够让我以这样的方式来生孩子呢？
So Pandu actually was very he understood the concern and he was very lovingly requested Kunti to teach the mantra to Madri.
那潘朵内心呢是非常能够理解 Marjorie 的担忧的，他的那很理解 Marjorie 的这种心情，所以说呢，他就满怀着爱意的去请求昆提能不能把这万陀罗交给 Marjorie。
And Kunti agreed to tell the mantra to Marjorie.
那昆提呢也就同意了，把这个曼陀罗告诉给 Marjorie。
So Marjorie used the mantra to call the twin Ashwini Kumaras, demigods.
那么Marjorie 呢就用这个曼陀罗就呼唤了双胞胎的半神人 Ashwini Kumara, right? Ashwini Kumara.
Yes. And they gave her two twin children, Nakula Sadev.
那所以呢他们就给Marjorie 了一对双胞胎兄弟，就是Sahadev 和Sahadev and Nakula Sahadev 和 Nakula。
So now Pandu has three children, very special children.
Five. 那所以说现在呢，这个潘度就有五个非常的出众的孩子。
Gandhi also had given birth to children. Gandhari
呢，他也生了很多孩子。
She had received a benediction, a blessing from Vyasadeva, she could give birth to 100 children.
因为呢，他是从施拉维亚塞内夫那儿得到了一个祝福，就是他能够生下一百个孩子。
But she was already 2 years pregnant and she was not yet delivering.
但是呢，她都已经怀孕两年了，可是呢，她还没有生孩子。
That's why she was pregnant before Kunti, 1 year before.And Kunti gave birth, and she was still pregnant. And he waited 2 years, without giving birth. Became pregnant 1 year before Kunti.
But just now you said that when Kunti gave the second birth of the child, Bhima, birth of Duryodhana.
Yes, she gave the birth of Duryodhana because she had a pregnancy of 2 years. She had to, so when the first boy, when Yudhishthira was born, she was pregnant 1 year. And when she gave birth 1 year later was when Bhima was born.
那是这样的，就是 Gandhari 他是在 Kunti 怀孕之前的一年他就已经怀孕了。那所以说呢，他是在 Kunti 生第二个孩子，也就是 Kunti 都已经过了两年之后，这会儿呢他都已经怀了两年了，可是他这孩子还没生出来呢。
So after 2 years of pregnancy, and she could see that the child was not, she became so angry because she thought that the blessing of Vyasadeva was not true. She became so angry, she violently started hitting her womb.
那么当她怀孕两个月之后，怀孕两年之后，这孩子还
两年的。
那么当她怀孕两年之后呢，她这个孩子还没生出来，这会儿呢她就非常的愤怒，因为呢她就觉得施拉维亚斯蒂所给予她的这个祝福呢并不是一个真的祝福，所以她气急之中呢就使劲的捶打自己的肚子。
Because of beating her womb, she gave birth to a lump of flesh.
那么就是因为他使劲的击打自己的这个肚子，就击打自己的子宫呢，就使得他诞下了一堆烂肉。
A ball of flesh.
对，他就生下了一碗肉，一碗血肉。
She was about to throw that lump of flesh.
而且他这会儿他就想要甩掉这一碗血肉。
So, and Vyasadeva at that time appeared when she was about to do that.
那么当他就要扔掉这碗血肉的时候呢，舍拉维亚萨德又显现在他的面前。
You have promised me that I would have 100 sons.
但你曾经答应过我说我要生下100个儿子。
And Kunti already gave birth to a child, even though she became pregnant after me.
而且 Kunti 呢，她已经生下了一个孩子，而且她怀孕的时候比我还晚。
You see, and now I have given birth to this ball of flesh.
可是现在呢，我生下来只是这么一碗血肉。
But Vyasadeva said, "My dear child, my blessings are not false."
但是说到 Vyasadeva 说，我亲爱的孩子，我的祝福并不是假的。
I will take 100 parts.
我会把这血肉。
Full of ghee, under pots.
那我呢会把这血肉呢给分成100份，然后呢把它们给放在100个罐子里。
And you should sprinkle sacred water over this piece of flesh.
而且呢你呢要在这些不同的这些血肉上呢要浇圣水，圣河里的水。
And she, when she did that, sprinkled holy water over this ball of flesh, the ball of flesh separated into 100 pieces.
然后呢他就在这一碗这个血肉上在浇这个圣水的时候呢，这团血肉就分成了100份。
Each piece the size of them.
那么每一份的，就是每一份的血肉，它的这个大小呢，就好像是一个大拇指那么大小。
So she took each one of these 100 pieces of flesh and placed them inside the pot with ghee and covered them.
然后呢，她就把这每一份这血肉呢。就放在了一个盛着酥油的罐子里，然后把这个罐子给封好。
And he told her, after some time, a child will be born from each of these 100 pots.
然后呢，他舍拉维亚萨德对Gandhari 说呢，过一段时间，100个孩子就会从这些罐子里出生。
So the first child that was born.From this 100 pots was Duryodhana.
那么从这一百个罐子里面所生出来的第一个孩子呢，就是 Duryodhana.
And he was born at the same time as Kunti gave birth to Bhima.
那么当他出生的这个时辰呢，就是昆提皇后在生 Bhima 的时候。
But this child, as he was born, instead of crying like a normal human being.He started crying like an ass, making that horrible noise of an ass.
那么就这个孩子，他的哭声呢，并不像是一个小婴儿的啼哭声，而是发出了像驴叫的那种很可怕的声音。
It's a very, very, very terrible sound.
是很，就是很难听的声音。很可怕的声音。
And when the child cried, that child crying that way, even the vultures and the jackals and the crows, they start also crying. These are all inauspicious entities.
那么当这个孩子一哭的时候呢，他就会招的秃鹫啊、豺狼啊，还有乌鸦呀，都一起跟他这个狂叫起来。因为所有的这些动物呢，都代表着是不吉祥的。
And they start having violent winds like typhoons.
而且呢，就天上也刮起了狂风，像台风一样。
And fire burning in all directions.
火呢也从四面八方的烧了起来。
So after the birth of this first child, Dhritarashtra called Bhishma and Vidura and the other and the senior brahmanas to have a discussion.
那么当这个孩子一出生之后呢，Dhritarashtra 立刻就请来了 Bhishma Dev, Vidura 还有所有的这些年长的婆罗门们来一起进行商讨。
So, and he asked them.
他就问他们。
The oldest of the princes born is Yudhisthira, and he will become the king.
那么 Yudhisthira 是出生的最长的王子，太子，那大王子。那么也就是说呢，他将会成为这一国之王。
Is the firstborn, so he is supposed to inherit the throne.
那么因为他是第一个出生的王子，所以说呢，他本来就应该被扶上王位的。
But why, what about my son that was just born? Will he become a king?
但是我刚刚出生的这位孩子，这个儿子他将会怎样呢？他会成为一名国王吗？
And when he asked this question, and he started hearing so many auspicious sounds of horrible animals.
Auspicious sounds. Inauspicious sounds. 那么当他一问出这个问题之后呢，他就听到了很多动物所发出的不吉祥的声音。
So Vidura told him,These are not very auspicious omens.
所以维多拉就对他说呢，这些可都不是吉祥的征兆。
This child will cause the destruction of your dynasty.
这个孩子将会导致整个王朝的毁灭。
If you want to be prosperous, my dear brother, you should forsake him.
那么我亲爱的兄弟，我亲爱的哥哥呀，如果对我亲爱的哥哥呀，如果你要是想要sorry, if you want what?
Prosperous. If you want to have prosperity, you have to forsake this child. You have to get rid of this child.
Yeah, 就是说如果你要是想要这个王国的繁荣的话，兴盛的话。那你就一定要放弃这个孩子，你要处理掉这个孩子。
Otherwise, only misfortune will come upon you.
否则的话呢，只有不幸会降临于你。
You're going to have 99 other sons, so let this one go.
对呢，因为你还会有另外99个儿子，所以呢，请你放弃这个孩子吧。
So all the Brahmins agreed that this child would be inauspicious, it would be better get rid of him to save the dynasty. But Dhritarashtra had no heart to destroy a small baby.
那么所有的婆罗门们呢，全都同意维杜拉的意见，都认为这个孩子呢是非常不吉祥的。所以说呢，应该把这个孩子给处理掉，给放弃掉。但是呢，对的 Rastra 他是非常，就他内心他是没有办法放弃掉这个孩子的，他觉得他的心没有办法去这么做。
So one after another, the 99 other children were born.
就这样呢，这后面的这99个孩子呢，就一个接着一个的出生了。
Meanwhile, in a forest, Pandu was wandering in a forest with his wife Madri.
那与此同时呢，潘杜和他的妻子 Madri 在森林里散步。
It was springtime.
那么当时呢是春天。
Very fragrant flowers growing here and there.
这个满怀着芬芳的花朵四处绽放着。
Beautiful birds singing very sweetly.
美丽的鸟儿们呢，也都在很甜美的啾啾鸣叫着。
A very pleasant atmosphere.
所以当时呢，是一种非常的宜人的气氛。
and Pandu, totally forgetting the curse of the Rishi in the form of a deer, he wanted to embrace his wife, Madri.
Pandu 呢，彻底的忘记了处在鹿的身形中的 Rishi 给他的诅咒，所以他此时呢，他就非常的想要拥抱他的妻子 Madri。
Madri tried to resist.
那 Madri 呢，试着要拒绝他。
But the king was so overwhelmed with passion that he wanted to enjoy his wife, and he died.
那么他，但是国王呢，他是完全淹没在自己的激情里，所以呢，他就想和他的妻子进行鱼水之欢，他也这么做了，然后呢，他就去世了。
So Madri called Kunti, and Kunti came, and he was devastated to see the dead body of Pandu.
所以 Madri 呢就呼唤来了 Kunti， 那么 Kunti 和 Madri 呢都非常的绝望，因为他们现在面对的是 Pandu 的离世的躯体。
He chastised Madri, thinking that Madri was responsible, but Madri explained that she tried to resist, but the king did not stop.
然后 Kunti 呢就斥责 Madri， 说一定是 Madri 导致了这场悲剧。但是 Madri 试图解释说呢，是国王一定要他这么做的，他要拒绝，但是呢他没有办法。
So Kunti told her, I am the eldest wife, so according to the religious principles, I should follow our husband in after death, so I'll burn my body along with him, and you take care of the children.
那所以 Kunti 就对 Madri 说呢，那因为我是 Pandu 的第一位妻子，所以按照我们伟大的文化来说呢，我应该是随着 Pandu 一起去的。那所以呢，我就会追随着他，和他一起走。但是呢，你要留下来照顾我们的孩子们。
But Madri didn't agree with that.
但是 Madri 不同意 ，Madri 不同意。
Because that he approached me for enjoyment, and he could not fulfill that, so I will accompany him to heaven.
那因为是他想要接近我，并且呢想要和我进行鱼水之欢，但是呢他并没有但这并没有满足他的愿望，所以呢我要和他一起去到天堂。
If I survive, I'll not be able to raise your children the way you can raise them. Better if you raise all the children, you are more qualified than me.
因为如果要是我活着的话呢，我是没有办法像你那样去抚养这些孩子们的，最好还是由你留下来，由您来，很好的照顾所有的这些孩子们。
So later, when then could raise the fire to the body of Pandu, Madri also entered into the fire.
所以之后呢，他们就点起了火葬Pandu 的火，然后呢 ，Madri 也就进入了火中。
So by entering the fire with the husband, she obtained the same destination as her husband.
但因为她是进入到火葬她丈夫的这个火里，那所以说呢，她和她的丈夫一起去到了同一个目的地。
So today we discuss about the birth of the Pandavas and the children of Gandhari.
那么所以呢，今天我们就讲了就是 Pandava 们的降生以及 Gandhari 的孩子的出生。
Okay, Yamunati already shooting a few questions.
Okay, Yamunati Ramaji's question. 深深的顶拜阿叔，深深的顶拜翻译，谢谢您。请问阿叔，加尔纳和 卡尔纳和 Pandava 五兄弟的受孕是通过意念吗？是没有经过男女身体的结合吗？他们的出生也没有经过十月怀胎的过程吗？Ashu, please accept my very humble obeisances. My question is that if Karna and Pandavas, their conceptions through the mind, so actually goes through the intercourse between the woman's body, right? And also the mother has to produce the kind of a
was born. They were all born from sexual intercourse, demigods. They were all born from sexual intercourse.
那首先呢，其实他们其实都是经过了怎么说，就是都通过了，就是经过了这个性的结合之后才。才怀孕的，才结合的，才出生的。
So they came, they were conceived from a sexual intercourse.
所以呢，他们是通过这种生理上的结合之后才怀上的。
But in the case of Karna, he was born immediately. He was born immediately, and he was, instead of coming from the genital organs to destroy her virginity, he came out from the ear.
但是呢 ，Karna 他是立刻就出生了，而且呢，因为为了要保护昆提他的处女之身，所以说呢 ，Karna 他是从他的耳朵里面出生的。
But the others apparently took birth in a normal way.I don't know, it's a really normal way like human beings, certainly not, because they are sons of demigods, but certainly from a sexual intercourse and normal pregnancy.
但是呢，就生下其他的这些孩子，由于他们都是这个半神人所生的孩子，所以呢，他们的这种出生呢，其实跟人类的这个出生的并不是很一样的。但是呢，他们也依然是通过这个男女的这个身体结合。来是通过受孕，并且呢，经过了这个受孕，就整个这个怀孕的这个过程之后，才生出来的。
Karna was special because she was afraid of being discovered to have a child without being married, and she would be shamed. So Karna, in order to protect her, kept her virginity and made the child appear from the ear and immediately. So she had not carry the baby in the womb will be noticed and all lose her virginity and not be able to marry.
那这个 Karna 他之所以很特别的原因呢，是由于昆迪的当时很害怕，他就害怕他由于没有这个他由于没有结婚，然后呢就生了一个孩子，而且呢还大腹便便的这个样子在这个显现在人的这个面前，那就会毁掉他的名声。所以说呢，太阳神为了保护他，所以呢，才让这个孩子从他的耳朵里面生了出来，并且呢，是立刻生了出来。
Next question.
The next question, Yamuna Tira Manji's question. 请问阿叔 ，Rishi 是一类什么样的生物呢？也属于圣人吧？为什么被禁止做鱼水之欢这类的事情呢？但为什么要以鹿的身体来享乐呢？So my question is that who is actually the Rishi? Are they also type of sages? Or why they are not allowed to have those kind of enjoyment between husband and wife? And also why they has to take the form of deer to enjoy?
He was not a Rishi. He was the son of a Rishi.
首先呢，他不是一位 Rishi， 他是 Rishi 的儿子。
Yeah, Rishi is a great sage.
Rishi 是伟大的圣人的意思。
So this son of a Rishi, he wanted to enjoy unrestricted sex, and this was forbidden in the civilized human civilization. You know, you have no restrict sex. You said sex for a purpose of procreating, but they just wanted to enjoy sex. So they took the form of a deer because the deer can enjoy sex unrestrictedly. So they were just enjoying life.
那么这位圣人的儿子呢，他是想要无度的去进行鱼水之欢。那么作为圣人来讲呢，他们只有是要为生孩，就是为了要生养后代，做这件事情的时候才能够去进行性事的活动。但是呢，这位 Rishi 的儿子呢， 他不是想要生孩子，但是呢，他就想要和他的妻子来进行这鱼水之欢，所以说呢，他们才处在鹿的这个形体里面去做这件事情，因为鹿呢是没有这方面的要求的，鹿是可以尽情的去享受的。
Next question.
The next question from Yamuna Tiramanaji, 请问阿叔， Gandhari 是取悦了 Shiva， 但是得到了圣 Vyasadeva 的祝福，是这样的吗？Oh, she's asking that if it's true that Gandhari pleased the Lord Shiva, however got the blessing from Srila Vyasadeva, is that right?
Yeah, it seems to be like that. It seems to be like that.
看起来是这样的，看起来是这样的。
Because he pleased Lord Shiva, but he got the blessing from from Vyasadeva.
因为呢，他是取悦了主希瓦，但是呢，他是从薛拉维亚萨蒂夫那里得到了祝福。
Because of having pleasing Lord Shiva, Vyasadeva gave her that blessing.
那么就是因为他取悦了主希瓦，所以说呢，薛拉维亚萨蒂夫才给了他这样的祝福。
Yeah, next.
Yamuna Priya Madhaji's question. 顶拜阿叔，翻译和主持人，顶拜您，经过您经彩的讲述，更加激发了我对 Mahabharata 的故事的探讨。我有几个问题。第一个问题呢，是 Karna 的一生充满了曲折苦难，昆提皇后当初抛弃他，对他对此有无责任呢？这完全是他前世的业报所致吗？您能讲讲 Karna 的前世吗？ Also, please accept my vulnerable obeisances and also to the devotees. Through your beautiful lecture, it's inspired me to, you know, exploring further of the development of Mahabharata. So I have a few questions. The first question is that Karna actually has a very miserable life. And Queen Kunti abandoned him in the first place. Queen Kunti need to take some responsibilities for the miserable life of Karna, or the miserable life of Karna completely due to his previous karmic reaction. Is it okay for you to speak a little bit more about the previous life of Karna?
This will come later.
Okay, 这个关于 Karna 的前世的故事呢，我们后面会讲。
Certainly was his karma, yes. Certainly was his karma.
那这毫无疑问呢，是他的业报所致，毫无疑问是这样的。
But Kunti felt responsible.
但是呢，昆提皇后呢也是要负责任的。
The second question.
Pandu 王得到圣人的诅咒，也是他的前世业报所注的命中注定的事情吗？他得到诅咒后退位苦行，将自己托庇于奉献，把自己托庇奉献给至尊主，为什么仍然没有摆脱诅咒呢？King Pandu got the curse from the Rishi's son. Is that also due to his previous karma to make him destined to encounter such destiny, such fate. However, after he has the curse, he retired from his position and went to the forest and get the shelter from the Supreme Lord. How come even he did that, he still was not able to be liberated from that curse? He cannot be free from that curse.
Well, because this is, as we said already before, this is all part of the master plan of the Lord. Certainly their karma is bearing fruit, but it's going to be used for a higher purpose.
那么刚才其实我们之前已经讲到了，所有的这一切的发生呢，全部都是在主的一个宏大的计划的安排之下的。那么毫无疑问呢，他们全部都是由于他们之前的这个业报所导致的这个事情的发展，但是呢，他们的这个业报的这个结果呢，会被用在一个更高的目的上。
You see, because he was cursed, then he could not have procreated children normally, and in that way Kunti could use a blessing given by Durvasa Muni to call upon great demigods to give birth to great personalities who are not really common personalities like Yudhisthira, Bhima, Asuna. These were all very extraordinary personalities. So these personalities could come only because they were conceived by great demigods. So they're not ordinary personalities. So this could only happen because Pandu did that mistake and was cursed.
那么就是由于潘杜王他得到了诅咒，导致了他不能够正常的生育后代。那么也就是因为这个原因呢，使得昆体才有机会去运用多尔斯达穆尼所给他的这个祝福，然后呼唤这些半神人们，然后生下这些伟大的人物。那比如说像尤迪斯蒂尔、王显尔朱呢，像毕马，他们都不是普通常人。那就是因为这个诅咒，所以才导致了这样的结果。
So this Mahabharata is full of incidents and twists and things, and it's very difficult to always find the root cause of all the things. We can only understand that there is a plan of the Lord developing, all these personalities to come together, because the whole purpose is for the Lord to make us focus our attention on these stories and all these complicated situations, and eventually we receive the message of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the main purpose of all this Mahabharata, is to convey the message of the Bhagavad Gita.
那在这个 Mahabharata 里面呢，是充满了各种各样的离奇曲折的事件和故事的。那我们是没有办法真正的去追溯所有的这些事情、这些故事它所发生的根源到底在哪儿。但是呢，所有这一切呢，全部都是主他安排这样，然后使我们能够把我们的注意力呢，全部都放在所有的这些伟大人物的这些出场和他们这些故事之中，让我们很专注的去聆听，然后最终，然后使我们的这个注意力呢，能够集中在主他讲述国家放歌这件事情上。那么这个讲述国家放歌这个事儿呢，其实也是 Mahabharata 的最终的实质所在。
Because this is for people in Kali Yuga who have no interest and they don't have the piety to receive transcendental knowledge. Most people in Kali Yuga are like that.
因为呢，这部书呢，它主要是为这个卡利年代的人们所读的。那么卡利年代的人呢，大部分都是不虔诚的，而且也没有任何的这个没有任何的兴趣去理解绝对真理的知识。
People in Kali Yuga cannot understand the Vedas, cannot follow.
因为在卡利年代的人呢，是也没有办法去理解伟大经的教导，也没有办法去真正的去跟得上伟大经的教导的这个没法去理解的。
So for the purpose of having people, helping the people in Kali Yuga, Srila Vyasadeva wrote a Mahabharata with all these intricate stories, just to captivate the attention of common people, so that eventually they would be exposed to the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and get important knowledge to transform their lives.
所以呢，为了要帮助卡利年代的这些人们呢，所以 Vyasadeva 他就著作了《Mahabharata》这本书的这个著作。那这本书呢，它以非常的离奇曲折的这些故事、这些人物来吸引人们，那么最终呢，是人们能够去听到国家放歌的教导，然后使他们能够得到提升。
The main purpose is to give everyone the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, because in the Bhagavad Gita all the essence of the Vedas are compact there in those teachings of Krishna.
那所以 Mahabharata 它最终的目的呢，就是为了要把国家放歌的教导给世人，因为在国家放歌里面呢，涵盖了在伟达文化、在伟达经的所有的教导的要义。
So, but it's very captivating to hear how all these personalities appear and how and the purpose and everything, and how they all interact together to bring, build up, you know, because the whole thing is going to build up, it's going to become very intense until the point that they're going to break down into a war. So, which is really the final thing, you know, a war, and then everybody's totally captivated by what is happening, and then, and poof, the gem of Bhagavad Gita is put there right in the middle of all this conflict, when everybody's attention is so much focused on this story.
但是呢，当所有的这些人物的出场以及这个故事的这个情节的曲折呢，嗯，使得人们呢会非常的被其所吸引。嗯，所以呢，当人们在很被这个故事的进展的这个吸引的这个过程中，突然之间就显现了波迦梵歌，然后使大家呢能够继续的把他的这个注意力呢放在波迦梵歌的这个教导上。
The third question.
Damuna Priyamaji's question. 像 Gandhari 这样贞洁的女士还得到了祝福，会有一百个儿子，是他的前世的什么业报导致他会在出生Duryodhan和他的兄弟们这么邪恶的灵魂呢？从后面消时光发展来看，他得到的一百个儿子的这个祝福完全是一个灾难，如何去看待这种祝福呢？ Because Gandhari is a very chaste lady, and she has got the blessing of having 100 sons. However, what kind of her previous karmic reaction for her to give the birth to the son like Duryodhan and all of his brothers? Because all of them obviously are very evil souls. And also from the development of the later pastimes, we can see that all the 100 sons is a totally disaster. It's not really a blessing. So what is the right way to perceive such blessing?
Yeah, it was in a sense was a curse in the disguise of a blessing. Again, for the purpose of creating opposition against the good people so they could have conflict and create conflict. But it's certainly, yeah, it doesn't sound like a blessing. We're going to see if that's going to be clarified in the future. We're going to have to wait and see if this is going to be clarified in the version of Mahabharata that we have, which is quite substantial. But we certainly there is some karma in our life that brought her to have children of that nature. You know, is certainly something there.
嗯，那么这的确看起来呢，像是一个诅咒，是一个在祝福的掩盖下的诅咒。那么，那么这个，但实际上呢，他这样的这个安排呢，是为了要在整个的这个场面里面安排一些敌对的敌方，然后最终呢才会有这场战争的发起。但是呢，这些孩子们是不是都是邪恶的灵魂吗？那我们这个会在后面的这个故事的发展中呢，能够看得更加的清楚。
But one thing is certain, these are not ordinary souls because they are going all to be part of a drama of the Lord, organized, planned by the Lord. So they are all going to be benefited.
但是呢，有一个事情是非常的确信的，就是所有的这些灵魂，他们都不是普通的灵魂，因为他们都参与到了由主所安排的这场大戏之中，而且呢，他们都会很接近主，所以呢，毫无疑问，他们也都会从和主的这个联姻中获益。
Even though they may be playing the part of demons, they're going to be killed by the Lord and attain perfection. And even those who are going to die in the battlefield of Kurukshetra as enemies of the Pandavas, they're going to get benefit because they're going to die in the presence of the Lord. They all go to Vaikuntha. So they have not ordinary souls.
那虽然说他们都是敌人，但是呢，他们都会在主的面前被潘达瓦在战争中所杀，然后最后呢，他们就是因为在主的临在的情况下死去。 所以呢，他们都会回到百昆塔。那么从这个角度来说呢，所有这些灵魂都不是普通的灵魂。
Neither they were going to be killed personally by the Lord like those demons in Vrindavan and other places, or they going to be killed in this holy war, and they are all going to get benefited. So they are not ordinary souls, certainly not.
那无论他们是在文达文被主亲自所杀，或者说呢？ 是在这样的战场上有主的临在的这种情况下丧命，他们都是会得到解脱并且都会获益的，所以毫无疑问，他们并不是普通的灵魂。Remember,
this is a drama staged by the Lord. So whoever participates is either is evil or good. They all get benefited. Certainly, those who will be devoted will get the most benefit. But others will also be benefited.
那所以我们要知道，这是主的大戏的舞台，所以任何参与演这场大戏的灵魂都是会得益的。那么作为主的奉献者，毫无疑问他们是获得最多的益处，但是所有参与其中的灵魂都是会获益的。So
they he.
Vidhi Madhaji's question, 当一个女人与丈夫一起被烧时, 一个活人的躯体如何忍受大火的烧烤? Okay, well, when the wife entering in the fire cremated the husband's body, because the wife is still alive, so for the body of a living person, how to tolerate the burning of the fire?
Yes, it was very, very intolerable situation, but it was more intolerable to feel the separation from their beloved husbands as their attachment was so strong. So they would prefer to bear the pain of burning their bodies along with their husbands instead of enduring the pain of separation afterwards.
作为活人的躯体走入火中的这种煎熬是非常的难以忍受的，但是呢，当她自己独自一人生活在生活于世，而与她丈夫分离的时候，所忍受的这种煎熬是更加的难以忍受的。所以说呢，妻子她宁愿选择在大火中煎熬之苦，而也不愿去忍受和她的丈夫之间的这种分离之痛。
And they had such a strong certitude of the next life, and they knew that they would get the same destination as their noble husbands. So they would accompany their husbands to the next life So there was a strong attachment and the certainty of a better life in the next life.
而且由于呢，她对她的丈夫的这种强烈的依附之情，就使她有这种强烈的信念，她和她的丈夫一起被火葬，然后最终呢，会使得她和她的丈夫会有同样的下一个来生，所以说呢，她就有这种强烈的愿望，使她知道她之后是会有好的结果的，和她丈夫一起的好的结果。
This is forbidden now in Kali Yuga.
但在卡利年代，这样的做法是被禁止的。
But Srila Prabhupada mentioned not long ago, maybe 100 years ago, was still a princess who went to enter in a fire with her husband.
但是呢，Srila Prabhupada告诉我们呢，哪怕是在100年以前，依然还有一些公主会和她的丈夫一起火葬。
But this was mainly amongst the very noble families.
但是呢，这样的做法呢，只是在非常的这个高尚的家庭里面才会有。
very high, very high personality, very high elevated people.
是处在那种非常崇高地位的人，他们才会去这么做。
Rajendra Prabhu.
Rajendra Prabhu's question, 感谢阿叔翻译和主持人。Bhishma 抢来 Amba 做自己兄弟的媳妇儿，而 Amba 心有所属，结果由于 Bhishma 抢亲未能如愿嫁人。Amba 回来抱怨 Bhishma， 甚至下一生走上了枯入之野的战场。问题， Amba 的抱怨令人思考，我们的生活中时常有抱怨，抱怨原初来自哪里呢？为什么会有抱怨？抱怨对灵修有何影响？如何清除抱怨？ Bhishma grabbed Amba to become the wife of his brother, but Amba has already given her heart to somebody else. So the result is that Bhishma, although grabbed Amba, however, cannot make the Amba very fulfilling to marry to anyone. This is to make Amba to complain to Bhishma and to make her to join the Kurukshetra battle in her next life. So my question is that the complaint of Amba is quite worse for us to consider, because in our daily life we always complain. However, where the complaint is originally from, why we have that kind of complaints, and also what the impact of the complaint to our spiritual practice, and how to remove those complaints.
We complain, yes. And we complain because we don't want to accept the responsibility for whatever happened to us.
那么我们之所以抱怨的原因呢，是因为我们不愿意接受，就我们不愿意去承担发生在我们身上的事情的责任。
We are attached to play the role of victims.
那所以我们就很依附于去扮演一个受害者的角色。
No, I'm not in fault. This is unfair. This is not unjust.
我没错。这个发生在我这身上的事一点都不公平不公正。
But actually, everything that happens to us, we deserve, either from wrongdoings in this lifetime or in previous lifetime. We don't know, we may not know the original cause, but we should know for certain that we are responsible, because in nature there are no mistakes. We do mistakes, but nature does not do mistakes. So whatever we have to endure,is our what we deserve.
但是呢，在我们身上所发生的任何事情，其实都是由我们咎由自取。也许可能是我们在这一生所做的一些错事导致的结果，或者是我们在前世做的事情导致的结果，我们不得而知。但是呢，我们必须要去承认，我们其实所发生的这些事情都是由我们自己的原因所造成的，所以我们要去忍受。
So to stop complaining, we have to assume a responsibility, and as devotees, particularly, okay, translate that, let's go little by little.
Okay, 那所以呢，就是为了要就是为了要这个清除抱怨，那我们就是为了停止抱怨，那我们就必须要承认我们要负责任，就是我们要对我们受的这个，就是所处的这个处境去负责。
That's the first thing. Nothing happens to us by chance. There is always a reason.
那么这是首当其冲的事情，没有任何一件事情发生它是无中生有的，任何一件事情的发生它都是有原因的。
But we should go beyond that.
但是呢，我们必须要超越这一点。
He said, "This is certainly only a token of what I deserve, because the Lord is very kind, I'm trying to serve the Lord, and the Lord has diminished considerably what I deserve to experience, so I'm just taking a token of what I deserve."
那其实呢，我们现在所遭受的所有的这一切呢，已经是被主的在他的仁慈之下给我们减到了最小的一点了。那么就是因为主他 他看到了我们的就是因为主他非常的仁慈，所以说呢，他只是让我们去品尝一点点我们可能需要去遭受到的这个报应。
And you can even go beyond that.
而且就关于就只是这一点，我们也可以超越。
What the Lord wants to teach me through this situation?
那么
What lesson should I take from this situation?
那么我的这个处境，我到底能够从中学到些什么呢？主他要通过我所处的这个处境来教我一些什么呢？
Yes, see, the first stage, at least accept the responsibility. The second stage, see that as just a token of what we really deserve.And third stage is to see what the Lord is actually teaching me or want to teach me through this incident.
那所以呢，这是三部曲。第一步呢，就是首先要为我所处在的这个处境去负责。第二呢，就是要看到主已经把我受到的这个苦呢，已经减到最小了。他只是让我品尝一点我所应该受到的这个苦到底是什么。那么第三点呢，就是要了解，就是要去想。我所处在的这个处境，到底主他要用这个处境来教我些什么？我到底能够从中学到些什么
？Complaining is the mode of ignorance. Means we are ignorant of the law of karma.
嗯，那这个抱怨呢，它其实是处于愚昧属性的做法。那这个抱怨也就意味着我不知道主的。业报的定律。
So we play the role of victims.
所以说呢，我们才会去扮演一个受害者的角色。
Yes, we are victims of our past misdeeds.
的确，我们是我们的过往的错误的行为的受害者。
We are not victims of others or victims of this situation or that situation. We are just victims of our own misdeeds.
我们其实并不是其他人的受害者，也不是这样或那样处境的受害者。我们只是我们自己的错误的行为的受害者。
The ultimate cause is because we have chosen to not serve the Lord, to go away from the Lord.
但是终极的原因呢，就是我们没有选择让自己去服务主，所以我们才成为了受害者。
We have developed independent material desires.
因为呢，我们发展出了独立的这个欲望。
So let's first of all take responsibility. Don't play the victim. Take responsibility for what have happened to us, because nothing happened to us by chance.
那所以说呢，首先我们不要让自己以这个受害者自居，而是要让自己承担起责任，因为没有任何一件事情是无中生有的。
Okay, number eight.
Chichi's question. 顶巴拉书 Vyasadeva 是主的文学化身，为什么要赐予丑陋的相貌吗？一般圣人都长得出众，相貌堂堂。So please accept my vulnerable obeisances. Since Srila Vyasadeva is the literature incarnation of the Lord, but why he has such an attractive appearance? Because normally all of the sages have a very handsome looking, or has a very, you know, fair looking.
And he was very handsome in terms of real beauty, but in terms of what we see beauty in mundane society, in modern society, like the kings living great opulence and all that, it was different because they could not appreciate those austerities and those ashes all over the body. It doesn't look beautiful, but when you really look into these people, actually they are very handsome, very, very beautiful, because they are very healthy, they are very, very, very satisfied within themselves, and they're really very pure-hearted. So they are beautiful. There's a kind of beauty that can only perceive for, from those who really have already some knowledge or some spiritual vision who can appreciate that.
就是对于真正有知识和有这个灵性视域的人呢，实际上是能够看出来Śrīla Vyāsadeva是非常美的。那因为呢，他的这种美呢，是展现在他非常纯净的内心，以及呢他的非常健硕的躯体，而且呢，就是他的这种很灵性的这个状态。但是呢，如果要是用世俗的眼光去看的话，那他是不美，因为他有这个满头的乱发，而且呢，他有浑身铺满的这个泥土。那他是不够这个吸引人。如果是用我们现在的眼光去看这个富人啊，或者是国王啊，他们打扮的那种样子，那种英气帅气的那个样子的话，那Śrīla Vyāsadeva他展现这个形象是不漂亮的。
Beauty now, mundane beauty is always decorated by so many accessories like.Beautiful jewels, beautiful colorful dress and the quality of the dress, beautiful makeup and beautiful hairstyle, all that contribute to enhance the, what you call material beauty. Where great sages is just like the naked beauty without all these external things. Actually, the external are not there.They are not very nice, the ashes, uncombed the hair, and no makeup, and all that is the externals are not there really, or very, they don't look attractive, but the person himself is actually very beautiful because of the austerities and the purity of heart.
那如果从世俗的角度去衡量一个人的美呢，可能是从他所戴的这些装饰品。他戴了多少金银首饰，戴了多少珠宝首饰，以及呢，他梳了一个多么的时髦的发型，穿了多么漂亮的衣服。那么从所有的这些事情的装点上来看，他是一个美的人。但是呢，从灵性的角度去看这些圣人的美呢，他们其实是没有所有这些外在的装饰的。他外在呢是满头的乱发，是抹在身上的这个尘土。但是呢，他的美呢就展现在他的。非常纯净的这个内心，他的苦行。
Yeah, Radha Priya, is a question also.
非常感谢阿叔的精彩讲课，顶拜您的莲花足，也谢谢翻译和主持的甜美的服务。刚阿叔讲到，所有参加主的这个安排的人都会受益。那么，对于奉献者的家人，是否也仅仅因为这个身份，即使今生并没有开始？念诵修行 Krishna 知觉也会得到 Chaitanya 的仁慈和益处呢。Also, thank you very much for your very excellent lecture. Please accept my very humble obeisance to your lotus feet. Just now you said that all the participants in this arrangements of the Lord will be benefited. So if this is also true for the family members of the devotees,Just because they are the family members of the devotee, even they haven't started, even they were not started to chant the holy name in their lifetime, and they won't practice the Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, however, they will still get the mercy and they will still get the mercy from Lord Chaitanya and be benefited.
Yes, they will be.
是的，是这样的，他们的确是会受益的。
And if you become a pure devotee, you can benefit some generations even before and some generations after you. If you become a pure devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj, he benefited 7 generations before and 7 generations after him.
但是如果您要是能够成为一名纯粹的奉献者的话，那么您就能够使您前面的几代家人以及后面的几代家人都能够获益，那么就好像是 Sri Prahlad Maharaj， 那么他因为自己是一位纯粹的奉献者，所以呢，他就使得他前面的七代以及后面的七代全部都获益了。
Thank you for your questions.
非常非常感谢大家的问题。
Thank you everybody for being there, listening.
那非常感谢聆听的奉献者们。
A special thank you to our wonderful translator, Dana Kelly, and our host, Sumukhi Rada, behind the scenes.
也非常感谢我们在幕后的非常美妙的主持人 Sumukhi Rada Maharaji, 还有我们的翻译 Dana Kelly.
Our maid 翻译的 Dana Kelly.
Thank you, Ashu.
Shila Prabhupada ki jai, Shila Vyasadeva ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari, Hari,
Hari, Hari,
Hari,
Ashu, thank you so much. Thank you, Ashu. Hare Krishna, 亲爱的大家，那我们今天的这节课呢就到此结束了。我们真的非常非常的感谢我们亲爱的阿叔与我们的亲情讲述以及对所有的问题的耐心解答，咱所有的奉献者的聆听。谢谢 Smoky Rada Maharaji为我们安排的这么好的平台。那祝所有的奉献者们晚安，深深的顶拜大家 ，Hare Krishna。